There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
But I think all of us should be suspicious of an administration that is so intent on keeping the elected representatives of the American people out of this deal. You have to ask yourself why. Why? And there's only one conclusion you could reach, which is that he intends to make a bad deal. Anything that leaves the Iranian nuclear infrastructure in place and ignores their behavior on a whole range of other issues, fomenting problems all around the world, building IEDs that have killed and injured American soldiers, you just have to be suspicious as to why the administration would not want our participation.
All right, that's the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and this has to do with Iran and letters that were sent, signed, sealed, and delivered a couple of days ago. From 47 Republicans. We'll dive deeper into that. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's just a slice of what we're talking about. Here's the big question. Will Hillary's woes evaporate over email troubles? She addressed the media today. She took 9 questions. She didn't really look that comfortable, but she's never comfortable in those situations. She hasn't done a presser in 2 years. And especially after being lampooned all over the place, the butt of the jokes, and then the seriousness of, wait a second, you had one email address in your own private server, so you trashed all your personal emails. And what about the ones that you turned over to the State Department? Can we be sure that everything was turned over? So it's just raw meat for the GOP. And can you blame them when you dump that on their lap? It's gift-wrapped on the heels of Benghazi. So a couple of interesting things. A couple of interesting things on the Hillary thing. She said she regretted using one device. And I got to say, what is the scoop with some of these politicians, and a lot of them do it, where, you know, it's all about body language and how you approach people with open arms. I mean, certainly there are enough books written about that, enough psychologists who talk about that. And, of course, we know the TSA, they're excellent at reading body language, so maybe she could take a cue from them. There's this weird thing about holding your hand kind of in a clenched fist, but with a finger, your thumb, just kind of out there where you're emphasizing your points. You know, Obama does that too, and there are other politicians that do it. I think it looks like a gesture that someone told them to do, and I don't know why I'm thinking about that, but because I watched the presser, I really saw that. And she kept looking at notes, and so she definitely wasn't into having to do this. But she was forced to have to do it because she wants to be president, even though she hasn't officially declared. So the gist was that the private email server, she says, was never compromised by hackers. Well, geez, that's a relief, because I'm sure you would tell us if it was. But she also said that she, you know, when she discovered she had this homebrew email service, she had that during her 4 years leading up to the State Department, and it worked so well, so why not? But cybersecurity people, and we've had probably a dozen of them on the show, say that the server's encryption might have been inadequate. That could have left her emails exposed to hackers and any foreign intelligence agencies. But she kept defending the server's safety, saying that there were safeguards. You know, she said the system we used was set up for President Clinton's office, and I had it. It had numerous safeguards. So her husband had it. It was fine. It was on. And this was the part that I don't know. This was the part that I also liked. It's on property guarded by the Secret Service. Really? Well, we've been hacked into by the government that has been guarded in the Pentagon and wherever. So Secret Service on the property, what are they going to do about encryption on a server? Maybe there are some cybersecurity Secret Service guys that they have. I don't know. I thought that was kind of a crazy statement and a big reach, because they wouldn't have any digital oversight. Of course they wouldn't. You know, it's like if I hire a bodyguard, unless he's a cybersecurity expert, hey, he's great with a gun, he can shoot to kill, and he can also protect my software and my servers. So, I don't know. Then here's what happened. They addressed other questions in a memo to reporters released Tuesday afternoon. They sidestepped all the questions about the level of encryption because people were smart enough to be screaming those questions out that were there covering at the media. So some of the specifics of this are just mind-boggling, I think. So there might have been robust protections in place, of course, and there might have been upgrades and other things that happened there. And as far as we know, nothing was hacked into, that didn't happen. But I still wonder if this is going to be the fly in the ointment for her or not. In other words, so if you come out, you do a mea culpa, hey, I have nothing to hide, they're taking all my emails, but geez, I trashed all my personal emails. It just had wedding plans on it, baby plans, my mother's death, emails between Bill Clinton and I, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, why she just didn't have the State Department email, it just is another lurky, creepy, stupid thing. And if I'm her closest aide, and I can freely say what I think is the right thing to do, I certainly would have never advised her to have, I mean, she wouldn't have two devices, fine, but I would have never advised her not to take that email address, because we know it's a sticky situation. How many people have stepped right into the middle of all sorts of problems because of email? How many people are in jail because of email? White collar crime, baby. It's all about the email. It's all about scrubbing the email. It's all about going to the servers. So why would you even, when you know that there are people that want to get you, when you know there are people that don't want to see you run or want to take you down, why would you even give them that opening? I mean, that's the scary thing. Why would you do that? And the answer is, you wouldn't do that, because you wouldn't expose yourself that way, or you'd have smarter people around you that wouldn't allow you to step into it. All right, so the Democrats are attacking the Republicans for the Iran letter, and that's obviously a huge deal. But is anything going to come of that? You know, who knows? And when I say that, it's because the Democrats just ripped into the Republicans for that open letter to the leaders of Iran on the nuclear negotiations. The gist of it is, as Mitch McConnell was saying, that, listen, whatever deal you sign, he's the president now, but that could go away with a stroke of the pen in 2 years. So saying to Iran, okay, whatever, do the deal, whatever deal you're doing, but just be aware that this deal could go away. Harry Reid was really upset by that. He said, listen, the Republicans are undermining our commander-in-chief, and they're empowering the Ayatollahs. You think they're empowering the Ayatollahs? You do not want to miss my next guest. Eric Greitens is great. He's coming up next to talk about his brand new book, the things that he's done for veterans. Unbelievable. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Just having come back from Washington and saying that we were looking at all angles of this Supreme Court challenge, you know, having to do the subsidies and then ultimately what's going to happen with Obamacare, etc. Very pleased to welcome to this show, he's in our virtual green room right now, is an ex-sheriff who fought Obamacare, the struggles of that, to pay crazy medical bills. Former Arizona County Sheriff Richard Mack joins us, and boy, thanks to an amazing website and a great idea, there's a movement afoot, and this has certainly turned around somewhat. Thanks so much for coming on, Sheriff Mack. We appreciate it.
That's okay. I appreciate you having me on with you, and it's been a real roller coaster.
Yeah, so tell me, first of all, what happened with your medical bills, because I think people across America listening can relate to that. Everything's going around fine, and then all of a sudden something happens. What happened?
Well, in November, I haven't had insurance for 6 years. Mm. And the reason is I used to work for a company, and now I work for myself. And it was just really hard to get insurance for the existing conditions we had for both my wife and me. And it was just too high of a cost. And so I put several hundred dollars aside, $300 to $500 every month for our medical bills. And that did it. That took care of it. We even had some pretty big bills here and there. My wife has arthritis and some other problems. But she had a real problem with a cellulitis and an infection and had to go in the hospital, and she acquired MRSA. Oh. And MRSA can be deadly. And she was in the hospital 5 days. And her bills got up to about $35,000. And then, really crazy, I actually felt really good. 8 weeks ago today, I felt really good. I went and got a haircut, bought some new athletic shoes. I felt like working out. I've always worked out my whole life. I've been very athletic. And when I went to the athletic club, I did 20 sit-ups on the bench, and then I went over to the treadmill and started warming up, and I'd only been warming up for about 5 minutes. and a heart attack hit me, and I knew exactly what it was. There was no way to rationalize this away, and I thought, well, I better drive home. If I call 911 here, I don't want to do that. I was in law enforcement 20 years, and I'm sorry, but I had to wait too long and too many times for ambulances to get to scenes where I'm trying to keep somebody alive, or I wish that somebody would get to the hospital right now. And I remember arguing with the ambulance drivers and paramedics, you need to get this person there. Oh, leave us alone, Officer Mack. We know what we're doing. And they'd go through all their protocol. Well, it took them too long to get there, and I just said, I know where the hospital is. I got in my truck, and I buzzed over to the hospital, and I was there within 5 minutes. And I called my son, who's a nurse, told him what I was doing, and I said, if I start feeling faint, I'm going to pull over. I'm not going to pull over. I'm just going to stop in the middle of the road, turn my flashers on, and hopefully somebody will come and help me, and you can tell them where I'm at or whatever. But anyway, I got to the hospital fine. I went right to the emergency room. I ran in there. I said, I'm having a heart attack. And they hooked me up to an EKG. In 3 minutes, they said, yes, he's having a massive heart attack. And 30 minutes later, I had a stent in my placed in my heart that opened up everything. And the doctor just kept telling my wife and me that it was the widowmaker heart attack. It was the worst you can have. It was 100% blocked. And I said, why didn't I have any warning signs? Why, when it's 98% or 99%, didn't I have any warning signs? And he couldn't really give me an answer, but he said, sometimes this happens. And he says, you probably smoke too much. I said, I've never smoked in my entire life. And he says, oh, you drink too much. And I said, no, I never drank my entire life. And he says, well, it probably runs in your family. I said, well, my dad had open-heart surgery when he was 72. I'm 62. And he goes, well, that's probably part of it. And I said, well, you know, and he says, sometimes crap happens. And I said,
a hardship. His brother died. He lost his business. He drove his truck into his house, into his driveway one night, gets out of the truck, drops to the ground because he thinks that there's a sniper watching him. Stays there for hours, and then gets up, runs into the house, and realizes he has post-traumatic stress disorder. And then what happened, Kay, was that he started drinking, and Zach did nothing in moderation. So it's not a six-pack, but a cooler full of beer that he's working through on the weekend. And he called me after he'd been arrested. So now you've got the guy who was once the Navy SEAL war hero has come home, and he's an unemployed alcoholic on disability who's looking at the possibility of having his kids come to visit him in jail. We talked that night after he called me. I got home. And I started writing him a letter about resilience. He wrote back to me. And the book is a series of 23 letters from me to my friend about how, in a really practical way, you build resilience. So we talk about mental toughness techniques. We talk about how you deal with pain. We talk about, as we talked about, mentors and models, how you build a sense of purpose. And we draw from all of this wisdom to help people who are in a tough spot really get stronger in the face of that difficulty.
Wow. Yeah, and I love it. I love the way you started that and how you went through it, as you said, that relationship and what happened to him. And I mentioned this at the beginning that you do so much for veterans. You're the founder of The Mission Continues, which is an organization to help veterans, to empower them, basically, to be able to thrive, to serve, to lead in communities. And what have you found since you started The Mission Continues? Where are you now?
So, you know, this started, Kate, when I was serving in Iraq on my last deployment on active duty. I was a commander of an al-Qaeda targeting cell in Fallujah. Mm-hmm. My team was hit by a suicide truck bomb. I was very fortunate. I was taken to the Fallujah Surgical Hospital. I was treated there. I was able to return to full duty 72 hours later. But a lot of my friends were hurt far worse than I was. And when I came home, I went to visit them. I also went to Bethesda, to the Naval Hospital, to visit with some recently returned wounded Marines. And in talking with all of them, I recognized that they all wanted to find a way to continue to serve. They all wanted to rebuild a sense of purpose. They wanted to build a new kind of team around them. So I donated my combat pay from Iraq. Two friends put in some money from their disability checks.
All right, coming up on America Tonight, just had a weird, you know, with all these storms and crazy things going on, we had a weird technical snafu because I really want you to be able to hear and enjoy what is coming up, and we're going to let you hear that at the end of the hour. Eric Greitens And if you don't know who he is, he got a Purple Heart. He was a SEAL. He's just an incredible, I'm going to say, war hero. And what he's done for veterans is absolutely amazing. He's the kind of guy that was named to one of the most influential people by Time Magazine, one of the 100 most influential people in 2013, I believe, and just absolutely, just awe-inspiring. I mean, just absolutely awe-inspiring. He's a humanitarian and was a Navy SEAL and, like I said, has done so much to help so many people. He's the founder of The Mission Continues, and it's an organization that helps veterans across America, and there's no question that he has the gift of really uniting so many that come back and feel lost and getting them hooked in to the community. So that's coming up at the tail end of this hour, because I want you to be able to hear every single minute of Eric. And, of course, the beginning of that you heard Sheriff Mack, who was on the other night, who was telling us his struggles with his health. And the reason that he was having so many struggles, not the reason why, but part of the problem was the fact that they didn't have insurance. And he said he didn't want to take the insurance because it was against his principles of the IRS coming after people, the individual mandate. And then he and his wife racked up really, really big medical bills. And so his story was pretty interesting. And if you didn't hear that last night, you can certainly catch that at GCNlive.com, because I thought his story was pretty interesting, and he was a very principled person, and that's the deal. Somebody would say, well, yeah, what if he had the insurance? But he refused to do that because of what he felt was happening to so many people, and ultimately including himself. Another big story that a lot of people are talking about is the story that happened at the University of Oklahoma. So one of two University of Oklahoma students have been expelled for their role in leading this chant, this racist chant, as it's been called. And if you hear it, it's like, wow. One of them apologized and said that, "I'm deeply sorry for what I did Saturday night. It was wrong and reckless. I made a horrible mistake by joining into the singing and encouraging others to do the same." That was Parker Rice was the guy's name, who got expelled. Rice and another student kicked out on Tuesday over what they're calling their leadership role in the chant by Sigma Alpha Epsilon, the fraternity. So this has become a giant story, and the fraternity has been kicked, lost their charter. They're kicked off campus at Oklahoma University. So they're having to move in the next couple of days, and it's become a really, really big deal and has spread virally all over the place. Lots of opinions on that. Stay with us.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we got to move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalMatch.com. That's FreeSurvivalMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalMatch.com today.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Thank you for taking time to learn more about how you could support March for Babies in 2015. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
And ends here on America Tonight. I mentioned what happened at Oklahoma, and a lot of people are so disheartened by this, you know, SAE fraternities. When I went to Ohio University, we had SAEs on our campus, which one campus and years ago and different charters, you know, you can't mix that all up. Unfortunately, what happened is, see, it goes back to this thing again of people or kids or adults or whatever. I think people just don't comprehend sometimes the world we're living in. 140 characters, cell phone tapings, and, you know, if you get boozed up and crazy and all of a sudden you start chanting. And it was absolutely a racist chant. So the one kid is just can't believe he's in this situation and just this feels awful and apologizes again and again and again, but expelled for doing this. The fraternity is done. The president, David Boren, says that there's a zero tolerance policy for anything that is considered threatening racist behavior. So what happened was a video of the frat, of a couple of frat members, and there were some other people in the video, too, that are trying to find them. There were some people on this video singing a racist song, and it surfaced, and, you know, it was just hours after that the president said he would suspend or expel any of the ringleaders, if at all possible. And, you know, he really took this to heart. He said, I mean, it really, you could tell that this was an authentic guy speaking. He said, all I can do is be thoughtful and prayerful about my next steps, but I'm concerned about the fraternity friends still on campus. They're feeling unsafe. Some have been harassed by others. You know, that kind of thing is what also Parker Rice, who apologized, was worried about. So they've already disbanded the whole Sigma Alpha Epsilon house, taken down the letters, the whole thing. The house is closed, and the universe, this is how serious they take it. So you're in that frat, and you're just some other guy or some other pledge or some other person, and then this happens. So this quickly, they take down the letters. They say, you're out of here. They're done as of midnight Tuesday. The university boards up the windows, and that was part of a decision by the university and the national headquarters of the SAE to just shutter it, to just say, boom, Oklahoma, you're done. That's it. That's it. So devastating all the way around. It was, and check this out. This is what I'm saying about the world that we live in and people often not paying attention. And certainly there was alcohol craziness involved. Okay. It was a 9-second clip. And boy, the backlash is unbelievable. I mean, it was a 9-second clip, but it was a disastrous riff and a disastrous 9-second clip. They were on a bus, clapping, pumping fists, laughing, and they were chanting. And the words they were saying is, there will never be an NSAE. So get it from, you know, figure it from there. And the words also were, you can hang him from a tree, but he can never sign with me. There will never be an NSAE. You get it. So once that happened, you know, that was it. They were absolutely toast. But the backlash on the university, too, even with apologies, even with an upset president, even with massive reaction, which it was, very, very swift reaction, even at the SAEs said, the national president, a guy named Brad Cohen, said, I am not only shocked, you know, and this is a student, he said, I'm not only shocked and disappointed, but disgusted by the outright display of racism displayed in the video. SAE is a diverse organization. We have zero tolerance for racism or any kind of bad behavior. But it could get worse for, I think, Oklahoma, because now they're talking about other incidents, there are other things that are being investigated, and, you know, all of that gets kicked open. Once that was viral almost immediately, you know, that's what happens. And now Oklahoma's the fallout. They're kind of in that crisis mode of, geez, what do we do? You know, what else can we do? We've done what we can. We immediately shuttered this place, got them out. You know, that's what we had to do. But I think that there's going to be massive discussion on this, certainly, especially where we are in this country and the kind of conversations that we've been having and some of the things that have happened. All right, so this is odds and ends, and that certainly is not at an end. That's just something that's been kicked wide open, just wide open. The other thing that happened on the East Coast is Jokhar Tsarnaev in court, and some of the people that he permanently maimed were there as well, some of them crying. You know, they had lost limbs and whatnot. Remember, 3 people were killed and 260 people were absolutely devastated, just terrible, with the young boy who was killed, with all the people that were injured, lost limbs, things that happened. We know that. And what was the part in court that was interesting is that they showed the whole pictures of the hull of the boat and what was written inside the hull. And really, some attorneys feel like this is going to determine, this piece of evidence, whether he lives or dies. Even if he says nothing at the trial, which most likely he won't because it's considered to be a manifesto. Remember, he was laying in the boat, his brother had been killed, and he was bleeding. And then they found him. The cops found him after all the wild chases around Boston. And he had scribbled things on the boat, things that said, "We Muslims are one body, you hurt one, you hurt us all." And that's what prosecutors are saying. They're saying, yeah, this is him confessing to what's, you know, to what's happened. And clearly, he knew what he was doing. And clearly, it wasn't about, oh, I'm just following my big brother. I was pulled into this, because this is what the defense attorneys are saying, that it was all about trying to be like his big brother. But you got a pressure cooker. You're dumping off a bomb. You're killing, possibly killing more people. And devastating the countless people that they did. I don't think you can say, oh, this was just, he was so heavily influenced by his brother that it's on him, and it's not, it's Tamerlan's fault. It's not Jokar's, and I think that's not a tricky rabbit up the sleeve of the defense attorney. I don't think that's gonna wash at all. And there's so many counts against him that which way does this go? I mean, when they discovered him, they were scouring Boston. And he slipped under that tarp and climbed aboard that boat that was dry docked in a backyard and was there for hours and was scribbling. I'm maybe assuming he was going to die. I don't know. He was scribbling things on the hull. And the things that he wrote is what they're trying to say. This guy knew what he was doing. One of the other things that was written was, the U.S. government is killing our innocents. Most of you already know that. No, you are fighting men who look into the barrel of your gun and see heaven. Now, how can you compete with that? We are promised victory, and we will surely get it. There was a lot of blood that covered a big chunk of what he wrote, and there were just dozens of bullet holes that obliterated parts. And this is how one of a huge manhunt, as we all know, it was just all over when that was happening. That was such a huge manhunt that just wrapped up after that. So the boat he wrote in what he wrote, he said the U.S. government couldn't go unpunished, as I already mentioned, for killing Muslims, that Muslims are one body. You hurt one, you hurt us all. And he did end with this saying, now, I don't like killing innocent people. It is forbidden in Islam, but due to said, and then the words were lost there because of the bullet holes, it is allowed. It was the last phrase connected to that. And the judge, and why I'm putting this in odds and ends, the judge, George O'Toole, looked at the boat Tuesday afternoon so he could rule on a defense request to show the entire boat in context to the jury. He turned down requests by the media to accompany him because he wanted to see the boat for himself and make that decision. The defense said the government only presented about 45 tweets out of, because they use those too, out of 1,100. And they said many of them were about girls and cars and food and not liking to study and other things that had nothing to do with a motive or what happened on April 15th. 2013, which was the bombing. And some people think I'm harsh on this, and I know that even if you are super conservative, and certainly if you're super liberal, you wouldn't, mostly you wouldn't believe in the death penalty. But I believe in the death penalty in certain circumstances. And when something is so heinous and somebody is so shows nothing, no remorse, just a dead stone look in their eyes, I think the death penalty, and for what happened to so many families as a result of that, so unbelievably heinous and vile, I think he deserves to get the death penalty. You might disagree. You can send me an email, americatonight.net. Stay with us.
freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Tonight, you're going to love our next guest. He's in our virtual green room right now. I bet he didn't know that he was going to be parked in a virtual green room, but that's another story. His name's Eric Greitens. And, you know, this guy is a recipient of the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star. He was named the U.S. Navy Officer of the Year, served as a White House Fellow. And if you go back to 2013, Time Magazine named him to its list of 100 most influential people in the world. And what I love about Eric is, you know, certainly his service to our country, but what he is doing for fellow vets, what he has done to help so many. And now he's got this brand new book, Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life. Eric, thanks for popping on with us.
Kate, it's great to be on with you, and I had a great time in the virtual green room.
Well, we spared no expense. I'm glad to hear that, Eric. Thank you. So tell us about the book. Specifically, what did you want to drill down that people could latch on to and perhaps, whether they served or not, what they could pull away from this?
Well, you know, the book, Kate, is really about the fact that we can all build resilience in our life. And we all know people who've had to deal with tragedy, and we've seen that some people can be broken by it. Other people actually emerge stronger. And resilience is the virtue that enables you to get better when things are hard. So we know that there's a path through pain to wisdom. We know there's a path through fear to courage. There's a path through suffering to strength. And All of that can happen if we have the virtue of resilience. And so the book is really about how you, in a really practical way, start to build resilience in your life, in your family's life, the life of your team, the life of your community.
Yeah, it's and certainly you took some of what you went through and were able to apply, you know, like you say, building in the face of pain, comfort, fear, and achieving excellence. And one of the key things you point out, too, which I thought was so great, because for some reason this is kind of, I know there's organizations that do it, and I know there's people that find these people, but how important is it to find a mentor?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. You know, one of the things that I say in the book is that there's a difference between knowing that and knowing how. Now, knowledge you can pull from books, but if you really want to know how to something and you want to know how to live well, you need to have a mentor, and you also need to have models. You need to have role models in your life. And so one of the things that we do in resilience is we talk about how do you actually create role models for yourself? How do you find mentors? And what does a good mentoring relationship look like so that you can, as you're trying to pursue excellence in your own life, as you're trying to work through chaos, difficulty, change, and maybe a transition, if you're, you know, leaving college or you've lost a job, or professional athletes who are leaving the game, people who are retiring, when you go through these transitions, having mentors and models always helps people to become stronger.
Yeah, and we should roll this back and tell everyone, too, as I mentioned, obviously, your service to the country. And what you do in the book is you actually show the bonds of these letters that were written by you to a former Navy, to a former SEAL comrade, basically, who was battling something that we talk a lot about on America Tonight, and that's post-traumatic stress disorder and dealing with depression, alcoholism, looking at jail time, all of that kind of stuff. And what did you find, and what were you trying to do in your letters?
Yeah, these were all letters to my friend Zach Walker. Now, Zach was a tough kid from a Northern California logging family. We went through SEAL team training together. And after the training, Zach did a deployment to Afghanistan, comes back home, is kind of welcomed home as a hero, buys a concrete pumper, starts a small business. He's a good father to his two young kids. And then his life was just hammered by hardship. His brother died. He lost his business. He drove his truck into his house, into his driveway one night, gets out of the truck, drops to the ground because he thinks that there's a sniper watching him. Stays there for hours, and then gets up, runs into the house, and realizes he has post-traumatic stress disorder. And then what happened, Kay, was that he started drinking, and Zach did nothing in moderation, so it's not a six-pack, but a cooler full of beer that he's working through on the weekend, and he called me after he'd been arrested. So now you've got the guy who was once the Navy SEAL war hero has come home, and he's an unemployed alcoholic on disability who's looking at the possibility of having his kids come to visit him in jail. We talked that night after he called me. I got home. And I started writing him a letter about resilience. He wrote back to me, and the book is a series of 23 letters from me to my friend about how, in a really practical way, you build resilience. So we talk about mental toughness techniques. We talk about how you deal with pain. We talk about, as we talked about, mentors and models, how you build a sense of purpose. And we draw from all of this wisdom to help people in who are in a tough spot really get stronger in the face of that difficulty.
Wow. Yeah, and I love it. I love the way you started that and how you went through it, as you said, that relationship and what happened to him. And I mentioned this at the beginning that you do so much for veterans. You're the founder of The Mission Continues, which is an organization to help veterans, to empower them, basically, to be able to thrive, to serve, to lead in communities. And what have you found since you started The Mission Continues? Where are you now?
So, you know, this started, Kate, when I was serving in Iraq on my last deployment on active duty. I was a commander of an al-Qaeda targeting cell in Fallujah. Mm. My team was hit by a suicide truck bomb. I was very fortunate. I was taken to the Fallujah Surgical Hospital. I was treated there. I was able to return to full duty 72 hours later. But a lot of my friends were hurt far worse than I was. And when I came home, I went to visit them. I also went to Bethesda, to the Naval Hospital, to visit with some recently returned wounded Marines. And in talking with all of them, I recognized that they all wanted to find a way to continue to serve. They all wanted to rebuild a sense of purpose. They wanted to build a new kind of team around them. So I donated my combat pay from Iraq. Two friends put in some money from their disability checks. And we decided in the beginning that we were going to try and change one life by helping someone come back and continue their mission of service here at home, working with organizations like Habitat for Humanity, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs. And what we do now is we work with veterans around the country, with thousands of veterans, and we help them to take all of the skills that they learned in the military, all of that tremendous sense of camaraderie, their ability to inspire people in difficult situations, their ability to push through obstacles and to achieve missions, and we help them use that so that we can build stronger communities here at home. And it's really been a fantastic thing to watch it grow. And of course, you know, a lot of what I learned about resilience, I learned working with these men and women over the course of these last 7 years.
Yeah, wow, that says something for sure. You know, and you mentioned that you said you were fortunate after, you know, the bomb happens and you're treated and then you get out, etc. And you see, and this is part of what the book is about, what's happened to so many with PTSD. Are we making a dent in this? Are some changes in the veterans organization overall helping?
I think we are. I know we're making a difference if the mission continues. In fact, we just had a wonderful study that was done by an outside researcher who looked at our veterans who came into our program, and half of the veterans who joined us who had a diagnosis of depression, after six months of working in the community, of building a social network, of seeing that they still had a purpose, that they could still be engaged in the community, these men and women, many of whom had traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, physical injuries, lost eyesight, limbs, been burned. They came out and half of them did not have a depression diagnosis, and that was just after 6 months.
Wow.
And so what we know is that these things do work. And I think what people find hopeful about resilience is that, you know, this is honest about the fact that life is going to be tough and life's going to throw pain at you and you're going to have to deal with suffering and hardship. It's also the case that there are a lot of reasons to be hopeful, and there's a lot of wisdom that's out there that we draw from to help people when they're in these tough spots to make it through.
Yeah. Is that what keeps you going, the success that you've had, that you've been able to build on with all these years with your program?
Yeah, it's one of the things that does keep me going every morning was that, you know, waking up, running the mission continues. We know that we had a mission to work with this incredible generation of men and women who are coming home, and we could not only help them to live more fulfilling and productive lives, but by helping them, we knew that we were also creating stronger communities. And, you know, for me, and this is one of the things I write to my friend Zach, is that you have to build a sense of purpose in your life. A lot of times, people get overwhelmed by questions of how. You know, how am I going to make it through school? How am I going to find another job? What am I going to do when I retire? They're overwhelmed by these questions about how. One of the things we talk about in the book is how you develop your why, how you develop your sense of purpose, how you develop your sense of vocation. And one of the philosophers I quote in the book said, if you have the right why, you can make it through anyhow. And that's one of the reasons why building that sense of purpose is so important.
Yeah, boy, so well said. Pick up the book. The book is called Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life, just dropped. Eric Greitens, thanks so much for coming on the show and continued success with all the great work you're doing.
Hey, thanks, Kate. Great to be on with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.